Goeiemiddag dames en heren. Kijk, ek sit hier so en lekker kry. Dit is vir my verskrikkelijk lekker om vandag hier te wees met twee gunsteling mense. Vir Dale Blankenaar ken ek al 'n hele paar jaar en my hart behoort nog steeds aan jou, Dale, hoor.
Dieselfde.
En die vreugde wat ek nou het is om 'n nuwe skrywer wat debuteer en debuteer met 'n pragtige kinderboek. Het ek hier aan my linkerkant Bianca Flanders. Baie welkom. Dit is so spesiaal om 'n debuut bekend te stel. Dit gebeur nooit weer nie, hoor. Dit is jou enigste keer.
Dankie, want my nerves are shattered. So hopefully I'll get used to it after this.
Okay. Kortliks gaan ek vir julle vertel hoe die middag gaan verloop. Dit is ook nog nie 'n hele middag nie. Ons gaan te min tyd hê. Ek gaan so 20 minute gesels met Bianca oor Pumpkin Finds a Queen. En dan gaan ek oor na Dale wat vir ons gaan movies wys. So enige ding gaan lekker wees. Het is lekker altyd om prentjies te kyk. Bianca het die boek geskryf oorspronkelijk in Engels, Pumpkin Finds a Queen, en dit is vertaal na Prinses Pampoenpit, en ek moet eerlijk sê, dit is uitstekend vertaal deur Jaco Jacobs. Hy is nou ongelukkig nie hier nie, jy kan baie gelukkig wees dat jy so 'n kaliber vertaling gekry het. Bianca, jy het hare.
Ek het baie hare.
Ja.
All the hair in the world, yes.
So as jy in Engels praat, is fine, okay, ons gaan jou verstaan. So jaar of wat gelede was daar nou nogal gedoente oor meisiekinders en hare. En dit het nogal 'n politieke oorlogie veroorsaak. En ek het gewonder, hoekom het jy oor hare geskryf en op so 'n wonderlike manier? Hoekom het jy nie 'n politieke manifest van jou haar story gemaakt nie?
Wel, in my gemeenskap was haar altyd political. So hair is never just hair. En vir my was het belangrik om die boek te skryf wat ek nie as kind gehad het nie. So as a child, I've always hated my hair and always wanted, a straight hair was always seen as better. And for me, we make up our ideas of right and wrong when we're children. So I figured if I could help a little girl find confidence when she's small, then she doesn't have to do a lot of unlearning when she's older. So for me, that's why a children's book was, dis hoekom 'n kinderboek was so belangrik.
Voordat ons aangaan met die kinderboeke, laat ek net vir jou sê, ons moet meer gesels, want as klein dogtertjie het ek die gewens om 'n krullebol te hê, en ek het dit nie. Dit so, stryd hier is nie altyd beter nie. Bianca, jy het al die regte dinge gedoen, sonder dat jy dalk geweet het wat jy doen. Ek het, toe ons nou voor die tyd gesels het, het ek gesê dat sy intuïtief as 'n skrywer, ek dink jy is 'n fantastiese skrywer hoor, sy het eintlik die moeilikste genre gekies, 'n kinderverhaal. Sy het dit op rym gedoen, en sy het 'n moeilike ding soos hare, het jy fantasties oorgedra. Hoekom het jy dit vir kinders geskryf? En hoekom het jy hierdie ouderdom kind in gedagte gehad?
Wel, soos het gesê het, ek wat die boek skryf wat ek nie as kind gehad het nie. And I really think that literature is where we form our opinions. And hair is so much more, vooral in Suid-Afrika, as hare is nog nooit het hare nie. It's always political. It always comes with a statement. And for me, as a brown female, wearing my hair naturally is admitting to being okay with taking up space. For me, it has to do with that. So I wanted to encourage not just little girls with big curly hair, but anybody who feels different or othered to be okay with taking up space. Yeah. And this age is just before they get cool, because when they come like 10, 11, then they get really cool, then you've got to work a little bit harder. So I'm a newbie, so I thought, let me start with kids that are still open, you know.
Jy is eintlik 'n aktrise.
Ek is, ja.
Ja. En jy het begin om op rym te skryf. Hoekom?
Ek hou baie van musiek en vir my is gedigte en kinderboeke wat in rym geskryf het, is net soos musiek. So all the things that we love about music, you've got rhythm, you have rhyme, you have a beat, are the things. Those things, the things that we like about music are the things that we like in children's books. So for me, it just felt natural to go in that direction. Also, I don't I didn't think of myself as a writer. It was just something that I really wanted to try. So I thought, let me start with what I know, which is music, and go from there.
Ja, intuïtief het sy die moeilikste ding gedoen en dit het goed gewerk. Moet ek nie van volgende vraag. Toe ek op skool was, het ons 'n onderwyser gehad en ons het so bossiekop meisiekind gehad in ons klas en hy het haar genoem Matraskop, Juffrou Matraskop. Wat noem julle in julle gemeenskap sulke hare?
Das klomp. Bossiekop is by a very popular. My opa, and this is, maybe I won't say what my grandfather called my hair. He said it with love, but I think bossiekop is a popular term. But now people are using it with, they're kind of owning the term now.
Aha. Ja. Het jy 'n matraskop geken?
Nee, nie by matraskop nie.
Aha. Die illustrasies, hoe het jy te werk gegaan? Het jy en jou illustreerder dieselfde idee gehad, hoe die proses verloop?
Dit was Isabelle McDonald, sy het die illustraties gedoen, sy is wonderlik, en ek was so opgewonde. I was really excited when I saw the pictures, because I sent her an email, she just asked me more or less what I thought the illustration should be, and because I'm an actor, I thought I used a theatrical term and I wasn't sure if somebody would understand me, but I said magical realism. And then I gave her some examples of what I think the illustration would look like. And she took that and she just made it a million times better. And she also added this crazy cat, this highly stressed cat that's just in every picture. I never thought about a cat and now he's one of my favorite things in the book.
As ek nou praat van magiese realisme, gaan ek die skildery of die illustrasie vir julle wys. Hier gaan baie dinge aan in hierdie kop. Hier is speelgoed, zoo, koekie, katte, voels, kamme, Nessie, voel. Dit is baie nice. Dit is baie nice. En hier is nie 'n luis in nie. Ek het nog nie 'n luisie gekry.
One of the things that I love so much is I said, if we can play with the idea of what is real, so what her hair actually looks like and what she thinks her hair looks like. And I think, I mean, as a bossiekop myself, if you shower, then lots of things fall out that you weren't expecting, like hairpins, a twig, a couple of leaves. Once, like a bit of a sweet, a whole sweet was chilling somewhere in here that I didn't know about.
Goed, jy wil nie vir ons 'n stukkie lees nie, want
ek
sal so bly wees. Jy kan die Engels, maak nie saak die Engels of die Afrikaans nie, terwyl jy vir jou iets soek om te lees. Humor in 'n kinderboek is so ontsettend belangrik. En een van die aspekte, as jy 'n letterkundige is, dan gaan jy weet daar is in 'n kinderboek is daar 8 soorte, verskillende soorte humor, wat eintlik fascinerend is. Een daarvan is oordrywing. Volgende daarvan is die groteske. Kinders is mal oor 'n groteske figuur, 'n heks of 'n draak of 'n ding wat nog in groot tree loop. Ons julle ken dit uit julle eie tyd. En die ander ding is die makabere. En watter soort humor het jy hier gebruik?
Ek weet nie. Ek dink, like, for me, klank, so sounding, funny sounding words, want as you if you have curly hair, then it makes a sound. You break hair bands, you know, it's boing. And the kids seem to love that. And so I think, I don't know what the technical term for a sound word is.
That is but I think
onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeia.
Ah, thank you.
Okay, kyk wat maak 'n bietjie maar ek wys net sommer dit te vir julle. Hierdie hare mang plop, kadwa, boing, woza, ploef. En hy maak seker nog ander geluide ook. Boing, ek is mal oor hierdie boing, maar hierdie krulle so uitskiep. Wil jy vir ons iets lees?
Okay, cool. So dis nou Pumpkin se ouer sussie wat praat. So her older sister just found out her secret, which is that she hates her hair. Look at mommy's garden. Do you see the flowers grow? None of them look quite the same. They're each unique, you know. See, you are like that flower. You're that big one over there. Its petals are so beautiful. They go everywhere. That flower is magic. She's tall and brave and proud. She knows there's no one like her. She stands out in the crowd.
Ah, dis baie mooi. Ek gaan 'n stukkie in Afrikaans lees, hier met hierdie wonderlike sterretjies in haar hare, met 'n glimlag hou pampoenpit die krul ontploffing dop. Haar hare lyk so waar, net soos 'n kroon bo op haar kop. Haar glimlag word al hoe breër, haar sus is reg, hoera. Van vandag af gaan sy haar hare soos 'n regte prinses begin te dra. Kan julle verstaan hoekom ek mal is oor hierdie boek? Hoeveel tyd het ons? Julle het 'n bietjie kans om vir Bianca self te vra?
Okay, nee, dus ek kan alles verstaan, is fijn.
Wat was die kindersreaksie?
Dit was amazing. Hulle was baie opgewonde. En dit was interessant vir my, want ek het net die eerste bladsy gelees. And then they were in immediately. And I realized in retrospect, I was probably a bit irresponsible. Because I didn't test drive the story on any children. I just sent it to the publisher, which I'm like, that's silly. But it's wonderful, and they get it immediately. And wat vir my wat so fantasties was, ek en my verloofde was in Namakoland verlede jaar, en ons het ons eie mini boektoer gedoen, want in Namakoland het hulle niks boekwinkels en so aan. So ons het by verskillende biblioteke voorlesings gedoen, en in Steinkopf was daar amper soos 80 kinders, en and they don't, in Namakoland, people don't wear their hair like this, really, naturally. Most people's hair is straightened. But it was amazing because the kids kind of knew what the book was about. So they all came with their bossy cups, like a little bit uncomfortably so. But they just felt, for me, it's baie belangrik that almal, I think that representation is important, and I don't think we have enough heroes and heroines that look like this. So when I was there, I could see that those children felt seen, and that was important to me, and that was the best response I could have hoped for. Yeah. And they felt special afterwards. They were very confident, and then, you know, they all, I would say, oh, it's so nice to meet fellow pumpkins, and they were completely on board with that. Mm. Thank you. Ja, ek het baie idees, maar ek wil nie te veel sê nie, because then I'm putting myself in a spot. So, hopelik. Hopefully. Ja, hopefully.
Ek het gedink dat Bianca, die volgende stap, die voor die hand liggende stap, is om dit op die verhoog te kry, met muziek. En die ma, is mos nou, die ma van die story is 'n actrice, dat jy dit klein bietjie verwerk en langer maak, en dat het verhoog toe moet gaan.
Ek stem saam, ek dink dit sal wonderlik wees. I just need to put in the work and do it. Because I care so much about the story and the brand. I think often people don't realize how much goes into creating a musical or creating a show. And because I care about it, I would rather take my time and do it properly than do it very quickly. Mm-hmm. And then it's not exactly what I need it to be.
Sal jy oorweeg om die hoofaktrise te wees?
Ek weet nie, miskien sal ek die ouer sussie speel.
Ja. Nog 'n vraag aan die gehoor?
Tel's got a question.
Ah, Tel.
It's always interesting the process that happens when you're putting words down and then words that apply to a book. So were you thinking about the pages as you wrote the book, or was it like written down in one word document and then you changed from there, or did you just leave it and then?
It was, I'm not, like I said, I didn't consider myself a writer, so I didn't know the rules. I know, I understand story, want exact year. So story, I completely understand. So this sounds a little bit silly, and a bit esoteric, but I really believe that at that time I wasn't working, because, you know, as actors, as freelancers, sometimes you have like little breaks. And I remember I was off for a month, and I had always, because I'm an avid reader, I'd always wanted to write something, and I thought, why not use the time now? And then for me, it just felt like God had decided on that day, you know, to use me to just kind of vessel the story. So me in my unemployed state just happened to be unavailable to kind of get it out. And it all came out in one long thing. And then only afterwards, when I wanted to meet with Almarie to get her opinion, then I kind of sat and tried to. So it's more, for me, I wrote it in the shape of a story rather than page one, page two, because I wouldn't know what that would look like.
Dis net 'n debuutskrywer wat dit perfek reg kry. Volgende keer gaan jy so bewus wees van wat moet nie gebeur nie, dat dit nie so moeilik, dat dit nie so maklik gaan kom nie.
Ek weet, ek sit en sukkel nou.
Ek het 'n vraag, my laaste, o ja, hier's nog 'n vraag. Inderdaad.
Bianca, wereldwijd is daar nou die beweging aan die gang oor haar nog nie opgehou nie. En daar is ook een Amerikaanse schrijver, een pa van een dokter, die wat ook gesukkel het met haar, en toen het ook geskryf van haar, en van het op Twitter gezet, in Instagram, en nou is dit vervaardig in een plek wat ik denk, een Oscar
yes.
gekry het. Ja.
So far.
So my vraag is dat jou story uiteraard haarself leen aan een animatie wat in concurrentie met die boek gebruik kan word. Ek weet nie wat ek die afdruk gevraag, en ek weet nie of dit ook een kat in die
Absolutely. I would absolutely, with absolute pleasure, the more mediums that we can use for the story, the better. So I'm completely open and would love any of those options. I only said musical just because I know how long it takes to kind of get something up and running. But that would be wonderful. The more, and also the thing is, there, in the country that we live in, there are so many kids that don't have access to this, whereas they have access to a television or to the internet or data or whatever. So sometimes, as I'd love to believe that books are readily available. The truth is that they're just not. Like in Namakwaland, a pumpkin, you know, we have to go there. Whereas if it was an animation, that is something that I think far more people would have access to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Dit vraag absoluut vir animasie. Ek het toch nie eers daaraan gedink nie. Ja.
Ja, kan ek ook sê, ek denk het draait ons ook in een Afrikaanse context, dus ek het eindelijk, ek het my meesters gedoen by Frans cultural kinderboeken, en eindelijk hoe kinderboeken in Zuid-Afrika waar ek het ingevoer word van oorsee af, en kinders my altijd identificeer met die objekte, met ook een broad red top bus van Londen, so ek denk die wat bijvoorbeeld die kinders gesien sien, en so, en ek denk dit ook, al hoe kinders dit bevestig het, hulle is die karakter van die boek, hulle is belangrijk, en hulle omgeving is ook belangrik
genoeg
dat
ek
in
het boek
kan
kom. Dankie. Baie dankie. Ek het die laaste vraag, en dit is aan die gehoor. Wie van julle sit hier as gefrustreerde kinderboekskrywers? Kom, wees eerlijk. Hoekom het julle dit nog nie gedoen nie?
Toe skryf Bianca die boek.
Daar is ander stories.
You were working that day.
Wat ek vir julle wil sê, is julle mense wat kinderboeke wil skryf, hier so word het gedoen. Jy neek in en jy gaan aan en jy kry dit reg. Moet nie te veel dink nie, doen het. Bianca, baie, baie dankie.
Ach, baie, baie dankie vir jou.
Plezier. Dames en heren, ek gaan, ja, sy vir die naandeke. Een paar jaar gelede het ek saam met Suzette Kotse-Meiburg boek saamgestel wat ek dink fantastisch is. Nie omdat ek die skrywer is nie, omdat ek betrokke daarby was. Dit was die nuwe kinderverse boek. Die Opperman se nuwe kinderverse boek se laaste druk was in 1957. En op 'n dag het ek die boek wat ons geliefde boek in almal van ons huise was, het ek oopgeslaan en ek gesien 1957 is hy gepubliseer. En die rede hoekom het my so laat skrik het, is precies 1957, omdat het my verjaardag jaar is. Met ander woorde, op daai stadium was daar die boek 50 jaar oud. En in 50 jaar het niks nog gebeur nie. En toe het ek en Suzette die boek saamgestel, en het was 'n enorme werk, het 3 jaar van my lewe gevat. En in die proses het ons 3 kunstenaars gekies om die illustrasies te doen. En ek hoop julle het ontsettende respek vir 'n illustreerder. Want 'n illustreerder is nie net iemand wat mooi kan teken nie. Daar is baie, baie eise wat gestel moet word aan 'n goeie illustreerder, waarvan Dyl ons gaan dalk meer gaan vertel. En in die proses het ek afgekom op Dyl Blankenaar. En soos ek gesê het, van toe af pa word my hart aan jou, Dyl. Behalwe dat hy 'n sensitiewe illustreerder is hy 'n illustreerder met insig. Hy het werklik insig in wat hy skilder. En dit gee 'n dimensie aan 'n verhaal of aan 'n versie wat waarsonder daardie vers of die verhaal nie kan klaarkom nie. Dit was jou eerste boek, Tel, nuwe kinderverse boek. En amper wil ek nou sê, die res is geskiedenis. Want as iemand soos van die kaliber van Piet Grobler sê, Dyl is die belangrikste illustreerder wat ons in Suid-Afrika het, dan wil ek eintlik daarmee volstaan, want dit is sekerlik die hoogste akkolade wat daar is. Dyl, ek kan nie wag om te hoor wat jy gaan doen nie. Ek en Bianca gaan nou hier afgaan en ons gee die stage vir jou.
Baie dankie.
Hallo, my naam is Dale en ek is verlief, heel van my kop af verlief vir kinderboeken. That's all I practice in Afrikaans. It took me 3 hours, so I hope you'll forgive me for speaking mostly English with the story that I need to tell you, because I speak best in my native tongue, especially when I'm talking things that mean so much to me. And this afternoon I'd like to take you on a journey with me, a journey to an island in Korea. South Korea, an island called Nami. This journey started 4 years ago. It started with a competition. Now, as an illustrator, as a picture book maker, I've been doing this for about nearly 15 years now. I'm not as young as I look. You often need to find as many avenues as you can to make a living making books. So you've got to be aware of the competitions, any way to expose your work. And something that kept popping up on my radar was the Nami Concurs. It's a Korean-based competition, and it has the most incredible incentives to enter. Firstly, it's free to enter, so that immediately rang a bell. The first prize is $10,000, so it can basically fund an entire year of work. So that's a big incentive to keep working. And then it had this incredible panel of judges, including one of the Hans Christian Andersen winners, Roger Mello, on the judging panel. Some of the most established picture book makers working today were on the judging panel. So it was incredible what I was seeing going on the website of this competition, because I would look at the winning work and I would see these incredible 3D installations happening where people could sort of step into the book world. And I've never in my life seen anything like it. And I thought, if I can somehow produce work that would be seen as good enough, then I could get a ticket to Nami Island and I could see what this incredible thing is about. Now, we're talking about dreams, kindersdroom. En het is zo belangrijk dat kinders aanhouden droom. Maar het is ook belangrijk dat ons als groot mensen moet aanhouden droom. So what happened was, in 2015 I decided that I had work that I could enter into the competition. So it happens every 2 years. So I'm going to show you the work that I entered. Are you seeing a single image? Cool. So this is a book that I did with Tafelberg, and I did with Marita van der Pfeiffer, who's just an unbelievable author. She and Rihanna are like my two all-time South African illustrators, maybe even beyond South Africa. And this book was one of the most difficult projects that I've ever done. What went into making this book was akin to movie making. So I had a few pieces that I thought would be worthy of this competition. So I'll take you through a few of them. This is actually the end papers of the book. So as you open up, this is what you see. This is the first spread. It's all about a little boy's imagination and how he sort of hears sounds in the house and creates all these crazy, weird sort of creatures based on the sounds that he hears. His name's Daniel. Olie noosters op die dak, ja, dankie Isaac. So the whole idea of this book was to take the reader into the perspective of from where the fear was coming from. So it is a little bit psychological in its conception. And then there was a double page reveal where you would see each of the monsters that this is a crocopotamus. So he creates these strange crocopotamus in Afrikaans, denk ek. He creates all these strange fictional characters in his mind. This is a new raaf. I'm not sure what it is in Afrikaans, but, it's sort of like a camel, giraffe, dragon type thing. And yeah, at the end, this is he's actually got the cat laying on the bed, and he in his mind, it's this enormous lion. So these were the pieces that I submitted to the NAMI Conquerors. So in 2015, let me just get my statistics right here. In 2015, there were 1,330 artists from around the world, 71 countries who entered this competition. I wasn't in the top 100. So it was a bit of a moment, you know, where I had to kind of pick myself up and go, why am I not good enough? And all the kind of like angsty things that an artist goes through. So what I did was I decided to sort of make it a bit of an exercise to grow as an artist. So I looked at the winning works very begrudgingly at first, but I looked at the winning works and I studied them. And I found two things that they all had in common. Now I'm going to show you, because I'm trying to take you all the way on this journey with me. So if you don't know anything that you think you should know, you'll know it later on in the story. So I studied these works, and I'm going to share you some of the 2015 winning works now. This is the Grand Prix winner. It's a Brazilian illustrator. Everything done in Indian ink, I believe. Look in all traditional media. This is an Iranian illustrator, Hassan Amikan. French, Julie Bernard, French illustrator. This is an incredible South Korean illustrator who created this book about the plastic waste that happens in certain parts of the world. Quite a powerful picture book. This is a Canadian illustrator who works in collage. And this is Ula Palusinska, who's Polish, and I met her a while ago. And she sort of works in bright colors, primary colors, and sort of bold shapes, and she uses a lot of graphic design. So what did you notice about the entries? Well, the two things that I picked up was that most of them had some tie to handmade illustration. So it looked like it was done in traditional media, painting, collage, printmaking, etc. And then the second thing is they all had this very interesting, almost surprising visual language. Like I'd never seen something like this, quite like this before. So I changed my approach to making books. I viewed each project as starting from scratch. I forgot the style that you saw in the beginning, Rhinocephants. I forgot how to make pictures. And I taught myself from the beginning how to make pictures every single time. So I'd get a text, I'd research the text, I'd read it over and over, I'd try to get to know the characters, and then from there would come an idea, and from the idea would come the style. Every single project. It's a bit daunting because you kind of feel like a baby every time, like you're having to grow up with each project, but it made everything so much more exciting. I was excited. I felt like if I was excited, then maybe children would be more excited. So this brings us to the 2017 competition. So I wasn't yet ready to enter the competition, so I let 2017 go by. But again, I use it as an opportunity to study the winning works. So let's have a look at some of the winning works and see if anything has changed. I like to show these pictures because it also kind of shows you what trends in the picture book world, how they're changing and how they're evolving, because this really is illustrators from all around the world, and the biggest publishing houses in the world are submitting works to this competition. So it's a good global sort of gauge on what's happening in terms of illustration, picture book illustration worldwide. So this is, I think she's a Russian, and the book sort of folds out, so it's kind of the length of this room, and it actually is, it's an old Russian folktale, and it's very like political, as you can see in the image, and very mature. So it was interesting what started to happen now with some of the entries. Anna Manganova, I think she's also from one of the European, I think it's Serbia, very printmaking sort of style. She's Korean, I believe. I think South Korean. Another South Korean illustrator. Book is called The Yellow Line, and the line sort of weaves through the entire book and becomes different things as it continues to go through the book. this is a weird sort of version of the Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats. Was it T.S. Eliot who wrote Old Possum's? It's very strange, but very, very cool, quirky sort of interpretation of that book. And this is an Iranian illustrator who's gone digital. Katerina Sobral, who's a Portuguese illustrator who does fantastic work with oil pastels and all sorts of traditional media. This is such a beautiful book. It's so simple, but the entire book represents the relationship between a mother and child through dance. So the whole book shows this mother dancing with the child as the child grows up. And it's almost like if you flip through the book, it becomes an animation. So simple illustration, just pencil lines, graphite lines, but an amazing concept. This book is also, it's another example of how the book takes on the meaning of the title. So it's called Hide and Seek, and the book is literally, it's such a confusing thing. I saw a copy of it, and you have to fold and twist to make things make sense. So it literally takes you through the action of hiding and seeking. This is a well-known, I think she lives in Portugal now, but I think she may be Chinese, Yoko Kono, who does amazing things with the use of the form of the book. And this was all done using paper cuts, pasted transparent paper cuts and tracing paper. So again, the same two things were visible. A very, very close tie to handmade traditional media. But now there were works that were coming in that were quite digital. So I sort of took that to mind in my experimentation. And as I created books, I looked at the strange colors that were being, like if you take this work, for instance, I think it's also a Korean illustrator. Colors that you told in color theory that red and green don't go together. It creates this very uncomfortable feeling. But this book is about apes taking over and what would happen if they use our technology. So it's sort of a strange, uncomfortable thing that's happening. And it's very strange. So it makes you look at the colors and you get the sense of something very strange that's going on here. And that's what I love. I love the colors, the composition, the design of a book to tell the story in its own way. Even extend the story. So this brings us to 2019 and the 2019 NAMI Conquers. So I had at this stage, I'd been working in this new experimental media. I did one book for Tafelberg that was quite experimental. They published it for some reason. And yeah, it's tough. It doesn't always work in our very conservative market, so we have to always be aware of that. You have to create a book for some sort of context. So I created three pieces that I felt were good enough to send to the 2019 NAMI Conquers. And this weird thing happened because we moved to Krobo and we were trekking to Cape Town because my wife misses her mom all the time. So we find ourselves, I've got a 27-inch iMac and we pack up the whole box and we go and we're like at the in-laws and I'm trying to set up my computer. And this was the last day of submission. So you submit online. And I was like, yes, I've got three. It's going to be great. I've three times more chance of getting into the top, 18 or whatever. I get there and I submit the first piece. And as I submitted the first piece, the deadline closed. So I was like, oh dear. So I've got one piece that I sent. And during 2019, there were 1,884 entries from 97 different countries. And I can promise you, most of the work is good. So I was extremely nervous. I was watching the website. I was listening to social media, seeing if someone maybe knew something that I didn't know. So before I give you the result, I'm going to give you a bit of insight into the judging process that happens at the NAMI Conquers, because it's a fascinating, art is so subjective. How do you, out of 1,800 pieces of incredible artwork, how do you decide on 8 and then on 18? How do you do that? So this is a little bit, and you'll see Pitt in this video as well. Okay, I need to just double. Things are going wrong. Escape. Thank you, darling. Okay. Hopefully this will go without a hitch. So that is the very, very brief version of the incredible process that lasts, I think, a week or two of sitting in a room and trying to decide which of the artworks have value that translates, that will allow a child to gain something, the same thing that an adult gains when they go into an art gallery, because picture books are a child's first art gallery. So this is the work that I submitted. It's a very interesting story about this work. So this was a book that I did for Bumble Books. And there were two versions of the book. One was my initial one that I storyboarded for the publisher. The other one was the one that we agreed after looking at the final. We took it in a slightly different direction. So I held on to my original book because I quite liked what happened. And the book was, this is five spreads. And basically it's about the meeting, like what would happen if a child had a conversation with an alien. So the whole style was, as a child, what would kind of go through your mind if you had to see an alien showing up at your window one day? Like, what would be, you know, it's kind of like there's no way to really document that in words or even in images. So I just try to put as much thinking into, like, what would the alien see? So, like, the whole book is sort of seen through their view. And everything looks like an X-ray because they've got X-ray vision. So you're seeing the whole world through their eyes constantly. So I'll just take you through some of the images. What I did to create this book was I did it all by hand. and then compiled it digitally. So the background you'll see, it's spray paint. So spray paint on black paper. It's about 8 to 10 different stencils that have been layered over each other. And then if you look at the house over here, that's another 8 to 10 stencils that have been layered across each other. And then the characters were painted with gouache and then broken up in Photoshop so that they could be manipulated sort of like puppets. And that's basically how the book came to be made. Sorry, other way. So it's strange, yes it is, but I imagine that an encounter with an alien wouldn't be anything but strange. So I think that's the amazing thing about this competition, is because there's no category for children's picture books to fall into. Children are complex beings. They think differently. They think independently. They have thoughts. They want to be challenged like we would want to be challenged. So when I approach a book, I always try to think, if I went into an art gallery, would I want something that is desired to pander to me? Or would I want something that's designed to challenge me, to make me think and ask questions about the world and about art and about life in general? So this was the year, 2019. I came fourth out of 1,884. So I got to get my golden ticket to Nami Island. So I want to share a little bit about that incredible experience. I want to thank my wife very much because she wasn't able to go with me. She said, you need to go because we have this rule about not traveling with anyone but each other. So she said, there's one person who you can go with, and that's your best friend. So I said, okay. So I phoned my best friend. He's sitting in the audience. And I said, listen, would you be willing to do something? He'd just been on like a Euro trip, and I was like, I wasn't hopeful, but he was like, yeah, let's do it. So it was this cool kind of thing where we went together. We got to Seoul Airport, and there's this like tiny little Korean girl who kind of comes up to us, and her name is Sienna, and she kind of like whisked us through the whole airport thing to the bus. And before we knew it, we were on our way to our hotel room. The Seoul countryside is amazing. We got to our hotel room at night. She made sure we were checked in. The Koreans are such incredibly neat and polite people. We got checked into our hotel. We were incredibly jet lagged, but we did some sightseeing. And at that time, they had the Lotus Lantern Festival. So we got to see some of the lights and some of the installations. And already Korea captivated my artistic soul. Already I started to dream and be inspired. And then there was something special about the 2019 Nami Conquers exhibition, because this one wasn't held on Nami Island like all the others had been. But it was held at a much bigger venue in Seoul. So at this one venue, they exhibited the winning works of the 2019 Nami Conquers. The Hans Christian Andersen Igor Olenikov, his work was there as well. And also the winners of the Biennial of Illustration Bratislava, which is the oldest illustration award. So it was literally like the best illustration, picture book illustration on the planet in one place. And I got a little place among them. It was an absolute honor. So now I want to show you some of the 2019 winning works. This is a book called War by André Letria from Portugal, who won the Grand Prix. Absolutely incredible book. This is by a Japanese artist. It's actually a combination of a picture book and a book, and an advertising book that was left on the trains in Tokyo as sort of advertising for the railroad. This is an amazing book by Ulla Palusinska. The book is called When I'm Lazing About Looking at the Sky, and it's about this girl who looks at things in the sky in different places. And then the one spread, you'll see what she's looking at. You'll see her perspective, or you'll see her. And in the next book, you'll see what she's looking at. So there's all these kind of interesting perspectives. And going the wrong way. Oh, that's my way. Sorry. So strange to see my work there. I was like, what's that doing there? Oh, sorry about that. This is a Spanish illustrator. This is the end papers of his book. How amazing is that? He created a whole world. He mapped out the whole world of the book in his end papers. My direction. Now, this is a bit of a more mature book. It's done by two Ukrainian illustrators. They're a married couple and just the coolest people you'll ever meet. It's Ernest Hemingway's A Farewell to Arms. And she used the gutter of the book to use objects that were sort of normal, everyday objects and friendly versus non-friendly, warlike and non-warlike. And look how incredibly she uses the gutter to cross over from one thing to the next. This is Sol Underaga from Uruguay, I believe, and so colorful and so expressive. This is an Argentina illustrator, Jorge Bustos. Victoria Formina from Russia. She's so funny. This is quite a cool concept book. The book is printed in two colors, one red and one sort of a light blue. So you, with the book, you get a magnifying glass. Well, not a magnifying glass, but a red hourglass. Well, eyeglass. And it allows you to find the hidden things because it cuts away the red and you only see the blue underneath. So that was quite cool. Book about superheroes, also from the Ukrainian couple. From Romania. How amazing is that? This entire book was just charcoal sketches. And this book, it won a number of awards. It won at the Bologna Book Fair. It won at the Biennial of Illustration Bratislava and at NAMI Conkers. So it shows you how simple something can be to capture the imagination. The lines are so incredible. So now I've shown you the winning works. And now I'm going to show you what the Sol exhibition looked like.
Amazed with all the quality of this work, with the commitment that the organization puts to into this project. It makes me look at my work in a different way, and it looks even better looking at this with all this scenario and all this the way that you work with all the pictures.
The exhibition is amazing. The fact that you can go inside of the picture, it's an unusual experience.
I absolutely love the exhibition. I feel like it shows the public a bit about how the work is made.
I wore that flower over the whole thing for some reason. I was so nervous.
And looking at the book is amazing because you get the sense of the whole process, and the space is incredible because you can interact with.
They actually made a window with my characters, which is.
저로서 너무 뜻하지 않은 그 상을 받았고 이게 얼마나 큰 상이고 얼마나 감사한 일인지 좀 느끼게 됐어요. 전시도 인상 깊었고요. 각 작가들마다 연출을 너무 잘해주셔서 그 내용을 꼭 책 내용을 몰라도 잘 볼 수 있고 그 작품에 녹아들 수 있는 것 같아 좋았습니다.
I think it's amazing. I really love how this exhibition is made, no? Because you can see all the works in a very huge size, no? And it's very impressive, no? I really like it.
Great exposition. I'm very excited and very happy that I'm a member of this exposition, that I'm a part of this exposition because it's great design.
So what they're going to show now is a panel discussion that we had describing some of the process. So it was the main winner, the Grand Prix winner. It was Romana Romashin, and it was myself that they selected, and we had an amazing panel discussion. And it was so incredible to see the appreciation that these Korean people have for books and for illustration and the effort that goes into making them. We had a signing event, and there was this little girl, little Korean girl, who walked up to Ulla, who made the book about looking at the sky. And her mom, she sort of like spoke in Korean, and then her mom translated, and she said, after she's read your book, she'll never stop looking at the sky. So it's amazing how these kids came and interacted with all this strange artwork, but they loved every minute of it. And so it sort of broadens your idea of what a picture book can be, and that in other places in the world, people really appreciate. We had people running up to us and asking for autographs, and it was the whole K-pop crowd was there as well. And it was just amazing to be appreciated at that level, especially coming from South Africa, where it's a challenge to make challenging picture books. So I think we're running out of time. Is there time for one more video? Because up until this time, we haven't yet gone to Nami Island. So it's kind of like, so we went to Nami Island after, I think, a day or two after this exhibition. And they had created the whole award-winning space there. So we went and we had the award ceremony there, and the island literally transforms into this picture book paradise. There are books in every nook and cranny, in the toilets, everywhere. There are costumes. It's absolutely crazy. So I just want to show you a video that captures some of the craziness. This is a combination of what we saw when we were there, but also some previous years. The Alice in Wonderland parade.
Thank you.
So this is a festival dedicated to children and children's picture books. They obviously take it very, very seriously. And this is what I took away. Okay, it's replaying. This is what I took away from this whole experience. If we don't take our work seriously as artists, as illustrators, as parents, then the children will never get what they deserve in terms of art that is going to inspire them, it's going to cause them to dream. We need to be able to create the worlds that the children can get lost in, so that no matter how bad the world gets, they always have a place that they can go, whether it's creating art or whether it's getting lost in it, that they know that there's something that will always stay good and true about the world. And that, I believe, is the quality that all good picture books need to have. So just in conclusion, after the exhibition was held in Seoul, we got news soon afterwards that it moved to Nami Island. Now, we don't have time to show you that video, but I encourage you to go on the Nami Conquers website and go and see what they did, because it was so much better than the Seoul exhibition, because now each Nami winner had their own room. And what they did with Copycat was so incredible. They had a spaceship the size of this room. You could walk into the house. They made the light fittings exactly like the illustration. They did, they cast silicone molds to make it look like sea, to make it look like an X-ray. It was really, to see that was incredible. I wish if I ever get there again, if you get to go the next year, then you see the previous year's exhibition. So that was amazing, because last year I got to see the previous year's exhibition, and I walking into those books and being able to, they stay so true to the design, to the colors used. Everything looks exactly like the book. I cannot tell you what an inspiring experience it was, and I hope to continue to use it to make books that will help children to keep on dreaming. Okay. So I found this video. It actually, most of the stuff that they is official Nami Island videos and images, but this video, they didn't actually have any. Sorry, I'm not used to working a computer. Down, it's there. No, that doesn't click. D. Thank you. Sorry, that part of my brain just shuts off completely when Nami presentation. Okay, so someone went around and posted this on YouTube, and they just like took a camera and just walked through the whole Nami Island exhibition. So I hope you enjoy it. It might be not great quality, but... So this is the Grand Prix winner. This is the book about looking at the sky, and they actually projected onto the ceiling. So that was, yeah, hey, let's see. see my thing for a, there's one of my aliens, and there he's gone. So they created this sort of curtain. I don't know how they did it, but this long curtain made up of the exact colors. It boggles my mind how they did all of this. These are the Purple Island winners, which says Sakhtapa. Happens to the toys when they don't play with them anymore. That was the gift shop, and they've literally made merchandise of every single one of the artworks. And what they did with Copycat was they sent me these two images, and they said it would be sort of a postcard. And I thought, well, how are you going to do the two images and sort of put them together? And it was like a hologram, so you could change, and it was literally like flipping the page of a book. So really, it was incredible. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for going on the journey with me. I will be entering 2020 again for the 2021. Submission should go open soon. So if you have work that you want to submit, go to the NAMI Conquers website. It's the experience of a lifetime. And yeah, I hope I get to go again and take my wife this time. But yeah, it was the experience of a lifetime, and it feels like bringing it home. I feel like I should have brought the medal and all the plaques and things, because there's a lot of that sort of went with it. But it feels like bringing it home to South Africa. So thank you so much for allowing me to share that with you. Absolutely. The book that won? Copycat, yeah. It should be available, yeah, at most bookstores, yeah. Samantha?
Not a question. I want to prompt you to also mention the possible next one that you'll be winning the Australian.
Oh, yes. Oh, the other two. So a book of mine, yeah, that I did with a UK publisher called Tiny Owl, a book called Quill Soup, about a porcupine who sort of comes to this village, and he's hungry, and he's kind of like a refugee, and none of the animals will share their food with him. I did this book for Tiny Owl about, it could be like a year and a half ago. And Dusanka Publishing House picked up the book and published the book in all of our 11 languages. Like, I think it's unheard of. Before the book was finished, before it had actually been published, it had already been acquired by, was it David Phillips? Mm-hmm. David Phillips Books. And it's now available in all of our 11 languages. It's also been published in France. It's been published in America. So it's really traveling the globe in a big way, and it's really still very new. But it was nominated for the Kate Greenaway Award in the UK, which is the oldest and most prestigious picture book award in the UK. It's recently been longlisted. So just check. Today's the 12th. On the 19th, so in a week's time, we'll know whether I made the shortlist or not. So please check that out and keep me in your thoughts. But yeah, that's a very exciting thing. So please go and get Quill Soup from David Phillip Books. It's QUILLSOUP, Quill Soup. It's a great read. It's very colorful. It's one of my most colorful books I've ever created. So go and check it out. I'm sure your kids will enjoy it. I'm sure you will enjoy it. Copies in the book tent. So you know where you need to go after this. Okay, perfect. Something that I would just like to leave you with, which is as creatives, as students of picture books, as parents, if you look at the 2019 work, a lot of it is very sophisticated, and it deals with some hard subject matter like war, for instance. I mean, the book is called Aguera, or War. A conversation that happened on Nami Island was, were these books suitable for children? And it's weird that only the adults asked that question. The kids were having so much fun, and they never actually asked, you know, is this applicable for me or not? They just enjoyed this interesting, exciting, and strange imagery. So as creatives, as picture book makers, as people in the publishing industry, as journalists, something to think about is how do we define a picture book? Do we have very strict borders in how we censor them, what we allow into them, what we allow our kids to read? Or do we allow them to have the freedom that we have when we experience art? So just an interesting bit of a debate. But thank you all so much.